Hello, this is Tom Lambert with another edition of Economic Impact here on 106.5 Fort Radio. On today's show, I have with me David Melton, who is an advocate for reforming our state pension system. David has personal experience with this, both good and bad over the years. He was once part of a defined benefit plan, which, and correct me, David, if I'm wrong, which was canceled. And then you guys settled so much on the dollar as part of that. That was with an organization called Logan, as I recall. But again, please correct me on that. And David has...
I can expand on that a little bit if you want me to.
Oh, yeah, sure. And let me also, I forgot to mention, any views expressed on this program are solely those of the host and any guests. They do not necessarily reflect those of Fort Radio nor any other organization with which I am affiliated, my employer, or what have you. So, David, I always add that caveat. No other hosts do on the radio station, but I always make an extra effort to put that in. I don't want to try to mislead anybody. So, but yes, please tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit more about what brought you to this state retirement issue. Yes.
I was working at Logan Aluminum on the last 20 years that I did work. 10 years of that was with a Fluor Corporation. I had a defined benefit plan with them.
Right. That's right.
That was terminated in 2006. I got a letter said, you got a choice of $240 a month or a buyout. I took the buyout and invested it. Late in 2005, Logan Aluminum sent out an email saying that they were terminating their defined benefit plan. So that was January 1st of 2006. I hired in with Logan February the 13th. So I missed that benefit plan by 43 days. So,
oh, okay.
I was left with nothing but Social Security at that time and just a little bit of a 401k I had contributed to with Fluor. So that's, you know, I'm not, these plans, they were terminated because they're not sustainable. That's in the private sector.
Right. Right. And that a lot of corporations are getting or have gotten rid of their defined benefit plans, and that's become, you know, those programs have become the minority, so to speak, for most workers out there, whether we're talking about, they've mostly been replaced by 401ks, 403bs, and I guess with the government, 457, although disproportionately government jobs have the higher portion of defined benefit plans, whereas private sector, that's highly defined contribution.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, I want to tell listeners that David has also prepared something for the show, a little talk called Promises, Promises, the Pension System in Crisis. So feel free to discuss that and digress. I may have some questions for you as well, David, because I did a show, as you know, a few weeks back with Chris Tobey to talk about this. And as I told him, I thought the state employee pension crisis was over because you hardly hear anything about it anymore. Steve Beshear said he fixed it. Then Matt Bevin said, no, he didn't, but I have fixed it. But now under the current governor Beshear, Andy Beshear, we haven't heard a whole lot about it, although we still have folks saying, well, they're still short of money. Maybe not as bad as what they were, but pension system is still short of money despite efforts to continue to boost the funding of it. So very interested in what you have to say today.
What spurred my interest when Matt Bevin ran for governor, he ran on a promise of fixing the public pension system. I had no idea what was wrong with it. My wife's a retired teacher. She has a nice, okay pension. So I was curious what was wrong. So I got to looking at it. So some of the things I found was pretty troubling. I mean, the taxpayers are on the hook, and it's costing them a lot of money. This first slide, if you can see it, the promises overwhelming economies. Okay, that's you can see there in the upper right-hand corner. Now this is 2016. At that time, the accrued public pension liability was growing three times the rate of GDP. The six you see there, those are the worst funded public pension systems in the nation. So Bevin made a promise he's going to fix some of this. Now, Steve Beshear elevated the problem, and all you got to do is look at the financial reports from the KTRS, look at the funding levels that Steve Beshear gave for 8 years, and then you see the And then you can see where Bevin started making the full actuarial contributions, which run up over $1 billion each. But you can look at the financial reports, track back through the years, and see where Steve Beshear did not address this issue in a fiscally responsible manner.
And let me also add, when looking at these slides, because the audience can't see them, but one slide you showed me so showed six states. One of them was Kentucky, but for all six of them, you're showing graphs that show the, yeah, there it is. The pension liabilities growing faster than the state economies, not just Kentucky, but New Hampshire, New Jersey, Illinois, Nevada, and Minnesota. So that's pretty powerful indictment on,
Yeah, those are the six worst states in the nation right now. Now that was
Okay.
2016, but I look back through the financial reports at 2016 at the unfunded liability, and this isn't improving. It's not improving according to the their own numbers.
Okay.
This entire report here has got some really good information in it that people need to look at.
You've got the accrued pension liability in these states is growing on average three times their gross domestic product. Okay.
Yeah, this study was done between 2003 and 2016. So I'd like
Right.
to see an updated report like this, but I don't guess I have control over that.
Well, this is still fairly recent, but yeah, continue. I just wanted to clarify that for listeners, so.
Okay, I think we're going to move on to the next slide. Here, I'm going to try to explain what happened. In the late 80s and 90s, they enhanced the benefits for these public servants. There was no funding for it. They had these, if you see at the top in 2002, that was the funding levels. The teachers isn't in here. I don't know why, but this is an example of what happened. You
Okay.
see the funding levels at over 100%.
That goes back to 2002 for these
That's
different
2002. Now,
funds.
what
Yeah.
happened in 2000 that we had the tech bubbles crash. You
The
remember the stock market crashed in 2000.
post 9/11 recession too, yeah.
The
Oh,
NASDAQ in
dot com bubble burst. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
the year 2000, the NASDAQ lost 30% of its value 3 years in a row. The portfolios, they were very heavily invested in tech, and they took a big hit. And you can see from 2002 how the funding levels dropped. See, KERS dropped from 110% down to 33 in
In a 9-year
what is
period.
that, 10 years?
Yeah, 10. Yeah, count inclusively. Yeah. And then you got KERS hazardous, CERS, which is county employees, non-hazardous, CERS hazardous, SPRS. What does that stand for specifically? I guess I should know.
SPRS, that's our Kentucky State Police.
State police. Okay. But you're showing, and this is for the listeners, a chart here going from 2000 each year up to 2011. The funding proportion is dropping from over 100% in 2002. Of course, I would mention that although the stock market was crashing, the economy was still doing fairly strong, particularly because of the robust growth in the 90s and the early part of this century. So it was probably easier to fund these back then, but then, yeah, it begins to drop. And as you're pointing here, for one of these, KERS non-hazardous, all the way down to 33%. KERS hazardous, by 2011, it goes from 117% to 71%. They're all that way. There's about, yeah, 40, 50% drop or more for all of these. Yeah.
Yeah, if you can see that slide, that picture in the top right, that's Jim Waters and Dr. William Smith. All of my research links are in this slideshow. You can go in there and listen to this. They explain what happened to a T. I mean, it's easy to understand.
Right.
They tell exactly what happened, what caused this.
And
So.
if you don't mind, what I'll try, these recordings for the shows are posted on SoundCloud. If possible, I'll try to post your slides there because you give a YouTube link of their discussion. So I think maybe this would be interesting for some people if I can post it to SoundCloud besides, our conversation today.
Yeah,
So,
everybody needs to it's about 28 minutes long, but everybody needs to listen to what they got to say.
okay.
It's really an eye-opener for me.
Yeah, the funding levels, 2011, it gets to the lowest point.
Okay, well, I ain't done that yet.
Okay. Please
All right,
proceed.
we're gonna fast forward to 2021. I want you to remember these 2011 funding levels when you look at this next slide.
Certainly.
Okay. The KERS non-hazardous, we was just talking about it. What was it? I done forgot now. 33%.
Right.
By 2021, it had dropped to 16.8%. Now, what that means is, they had a dollar, they had 16.8 cents for every dollar they owed these people in this plan right here.
Okay.
You can see the rest of them. Some of them may have improved a little bit, but some of them didn't. And I might point out, if you'll look at the two bottom ones, the LRS and the JRP,
You got LRP and JRP. Is that what you
that's
mean?
the That's the legislative retirement plan
Okay.
and the judicial.
Yeah.
So our legislators, they had almost a dollar and 9 cents for every dollar they were owed. So,
Judicial about 95 cents.
yeah, so I mean,
Yeah, we're looking, folks, at another table here that shows funding level percentage, going up a little bit, but mostly legislative research, excuse me, legislative retirement program for the legislators and the judicial folks. Going up the most, this KERS non-hazardous going up only 16.8%. So you're saying that these are improvements, correct?
I think that KERS actually dropped to 13% before it rebounded and
Okay.
started back up and got to the 16.8. But
We were showing a low point in 2011 at 33%. So, okay. Went all the way down 13, and by 2021, you're saying up to about 17%.
yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then on the right, you've got the unfunded liabilities, pension for KERS non-hazardous, almost 14 billion, retiree health, 1.3 billion, which is a bone of contention. We have another show on our station called Medicare for All, and I think they've discussed this at the state level, I believe. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, you're showing shortages, unfunded liabilities, Well, the legislative retirement program, judicial retirement program, they're almost zero as far as unfunded liability. And yet everyone else,
Now
TRS, six,
they're
almost
doing
17
okay.
billion. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Okay, well, I don't know what's next, but okay, this just came out recently. Amy Neighbor, she put this out. She's representative. If you read down through here, you'll see where the statement is they allotted $20 billion to shore up the pension systems.
Okay.
$20 billion, that's tax dollars. I don't know what pot it come out of, but it is tax dollars. The folks will have to open that link and read it. It's down toward the bottom, but
Right.
they got $20 billion from somewhere they're going to put into this, try to shore it up a little bit better than what it is.
The source is 935 Wayne, WAIN dot com. Okay.
Yeah, this link is in my at the bottom in my all of my links. It's
Okay. And like I said, I'll try to post this on SoundCloud if I can. So continue. I'm sorry.
okay, what's next? Okay, this is the KTRS financial report that Kavanaugh McDonald submitted to the Governmental Accounting Service Board. If you look at the bottom where it says actual contributions as a percentage of payroll,
Okay.
if this system was working as designed, all of them numbers would read 13.105%.
Which is
That's the taxpayer or employer contractual obligation to teachers' retirement.
okay.
It's fallen so short that they've had to contribute those amounts to cover benefits earned for each of those years.
Yeah, you're showing 2023 annual contribution as a percentage of covered payroll is about 29%. Back in 2014, it was about 17%. Best it was, it looks on this slide you're showing in this table, the best it ever got up to was about, well, 2022, 43.33%.
Now that's what taxpayers had to contribute to cover benefits earned for that year. The reason it's so high is because they lost about $11 billion of asset value in 2022. I got another slide down the row. I'll show you what happened. But
Sure.
I was telling you about where Steve Beshear shorted them. 2014, 2015, 2016, those were Steve Beshear years.
Well, I remember though, they claimed back then that they boosted alcohol taxes. I mean, not income or sales. Nobody wanted to increase those back then. It was a political hot potato. He had Democrats controlling the House, but you had Republicans controlling the Senate. But they said that they had boosted taxes on alcohol, cigarettes, and had plugged up the gap. But what you're showing, apparently, that still wasn't enough.
Yeah, I hope everybody understands what them numbers mean. That 43.33%, if you do the math, if you subtract 13.105% from that, that's how much more taxpayers had to contribute
Okay.
to cover benefits, to pay cover the benefits that were earned for that year.
Okay.
What's supposed to cover that is the employee contributions, the taxpayers' contribution of 13.105, and the return on investments.
I
But
see.
those three funding sources fell short by 43.33%.
Okay.
Taxpayers had to pay that.
And let me interrupt just for a second. You're listening to Economic Impact. I'm your host, Tom Lambert. here on 106.5 Fort Radio. Please remember Fort Radio and making a donation. We would really appreciate it. We're back talking to David Melton about Kentucky retirement issues. We've got about 10 minutes or so, David. If you'd like, please continue with the next slide.
Okay, there's not a whole lot to say about this. This is pretty much self-explanatory. Warren Buffett is telling companies to avoid states with large unfunded pension liabilities.
And people listen to Warren Buffett, yes.
I think he's like the fifth richest man in the world.
Probably so.
I'm sure he knows what he's talking about. But
right.
But he says that if they locate in one of these states with high unfunded liabilities, they're walking face first into tax liability.
Interesting.
Their employees are going to have to pay for this. Anybody that works in Kentucky and pays taxes, they're going to have to pay for this. So I just wanted to bring this up that there are people looking at this. Now, I don't think when Andy Beshear is courting companies to come in here, I don't think when he gets to the end and he says, oh, by the way, we got $41 billion in unfunded pension liability, and y'all are going to have to help us pay for it. I don't think they bring that up. So I think they're trying to keep it as low profile as they possibly can, because it may have already drove companies off. We don't know.
That's possible. And the site that you're website that you're citing here for your slide is reason.org. Commentary, Warren Buffett, people can look it up. But like I said, I'll try to post your slide. This is interesting. So
yeah, I'm going to go on. Now, sure. This is another Reason Foundation table. And I told you a few minutes ago that they lost about $11 billion in of asset value in 2022. If you can see the across from the Kentucky pension plans, the CERS hazardous, KER, and the teachers, you can see teachers in 2022, they lost 10.68% of their investment, on their investments. That's probably nearing $3 billion. They failed to make the 7.10 assumed rate of return. Those two total together, they lost 17.78% of their asset value. And that total was $4.61 billion. Now, on top of that, besides those losses, they also had to pay $2.4 billion in retirement benefits. So you're up. They lost $7 billion of asset value right there. So how they're, I don't know how they're coming up with they're doing better. This is hard to recover from.
Do you think it's bad financial management or just the luck of the market?
Well, I think it's overgenerous pensions from enhanced benefits with no pre-funding.
To get people to stay in their jobs or recruit new folks, that I can see that, yes. But that often happens, yes.
That's why I used this slide. I wanted people to see just how much in asset value they lost in 2022. It was really a rough year.
Okay.
It was a rough year for taxpayers. I mean, public servants, they got their benefit payment. I mean, they didn't lose a penny, but taxpayers, they lost. They had to bail this out.
Okay.
Okay, let's see what we got here. That's more of the same there. That bottom row shows. Okay.
Yes, what are some of your recommended solutions, as this slide indicates?
I got a good friend. His name is Trevor Cole. He's a financial planner in Russellville, Kentucky. I kind of got a little off track, and I talked to him a long time yesterday morning. He kind of got me back on track, but here's something. The first thing I think we need to do is save money. I think to pay current retirees the 2.5 billion annually, I think they need to pay that straight out of the general fund. Don't put money, don't give it to the Wall Street bankers, the investors, and let them handle it. And then when they sell it to pay benefits, them take a fee, maybe a percentage for every share that's sold. Keep that 2.5 billion in the portfolio. Pay the benefits straight out of the general fund. Somebody said, you can't do that. I said, well, yeah, they do it all the time. Read the financial reports and the budget bills. It's littered with additional just contributions, additional allocations. So they're getting that money from somewhere. So wherever they're getting that, pay that straight to the retirees. Leave the 2.5 billion in the portfolio. Let that continue to earn interest, and stop paying for the fees to sell those assets to pay the public retirees.
Okay. You got here start offering a buyout and
Okay,
a lot
yes.
of, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
At first, I was terminate the pension system completely, but I was having trouble coming up with enough money to pay payroll, the $1 million payout. So I think we need to start offering a buyout. I think $1 million buyout for a teacher that's got 35 years of service, I think we can do that and not see any impact on a pension system.
And then they would control their the money
They
themselves.
would that would be their asset. The state is
Okay.
out of it. They have nothing to do with it.
Interesting. Okay.
That
I mean,
money can be put in a bond fund. Bond funds are boring.
okay.
Okay. There you go. That's just an example. Say this year, 12 people said, yeah, I got my 35 years in, I'll take $1 million. So we just out $12 million on them. So they can put that in a bond fund, earn 6% annually. There's almost no risk.
We got about a minute left, David. So,
Okay.
if you
Okay, on
want to.
that $1 million, they would earn $60,000 a year just on the dividends and not touch that $1 million. That can be
That
left
would.
to their that can be left to their heirs.
That doesn't include their Social Security either.
Yeah, they don't get Social Security, so no, that's they don't get
Oh,
Social
that's
Security.
right. Yes. Many, yeah,
Yeah,
state, local. You're right. I'm sorry. I
but you
said
got to
included.
remember, the
Yeah.
average teacher retirement right now is for $42,000. So if they take the buyout, they've jumped up to by $18,000,
Okay.
and they got that $1 million. Their family's going to inherit a financial legacy. It could benefit them for generations if they don't squander it.
Okay.
I mean, I could talk another 2 hours on this stuff.
That's fine. You've done great. Again, you're listening to economic. We'll have to have you on the show again, David. You're listening to Economic Impact. My name is Tom Lambert. We've had on the show today David Melton to further discuss the state employee pension problem.